BlakeRadio.com.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
If you mean it gets better with age, it does.
Mace.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Omega.
Think fast, I talk fast. I need you guys to act this if you want to get out of this.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's it, you dig that! Suck it!
Come in unannounced, try my nails on the tile. I just followed your scent, you can't just follow my smile. All of your flaws are aligned with this mood of mine. Cutting me to the bone, nothing left to leave behind. You ought to keep it concealed, just like I was a weapon. I didn't come for a fight, but I will fight till the end.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. After an impromptu hiatus last week, we are back with our Extreme Rules Recap edition. And we have some extremely strong opinions, as we usually do. And first off, I am the Omega, the be-all and all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am here once again, this time with a brand new $170 microphone, which probably sounds like shit to everybody else, because we haven't calibrated it, because who needs a sound test?
It's not like you want to prepare for anything.
Sound check what? What's that?
Something we used to do a long time ago, but not anymore.
You do sound more in the distance. Anyway.
We'll work on it.
We'll work on it.
And also showing off some new hardware tonight, the one and only Tim Stein. Working as good as I expected it to.
Humming along as we normally do.
And Skype is probably crashed for him. Now as usual. Brand new system, same old problems.
No. New only works if you remember to plug the goddamn microphone in.
So the same old problems.
Yeah, it's all human error.
Tremendous.
Sorry, yeah, people. He tried...
And then you guys are all like, oh, same old problems. I'm like, what the oh, shit, it's not plugged in.
Great. See,
no matter how much new hardware you get for a computer, people, you will never get past the PebCat error.
Okay, give me a sec. Let me plug in my microphone so you can hear me now. Ba-doom. Boom.
Ching.
All right. Officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a post-pay-per-view edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. New microphones, new computers, same bad habits. And apparently, same bad habits. This is what I'm assuming Extreme Rules was.
Our chat room really wants one specific match, and that is way better than the proposed one. We'll get to that. By the way, you can interact with us live at wildtalkradio.com. Just click on the live link and interact with us in our chat room. Or you can tweet us at wildtalkradio throughout the show. Give us your thoughts on Extreme Rules.
Yeah, exactly what he said. Unfortunately, I didn't exactly get a chance to pay attention to the pay-per-view. I was busy being a father and dealing with teenager angst for most of the evening.
The good old days.
So, yeah. It happens, and of course, as everybody knows, that where my priorities lie, I'm going to pay more attention to Owen than I am to the pay-per-view. Which is exactly what I did.
Well, I don't blame you. Oh.
But hey, I'm here.
You're here live.
There you go. Yeah, and I'm just surprised that I haven't lost my voice, that I still have my voice after last night.
All right, go brag about it. Here's your 60 seconds. Go.
All right, yeah, I'm going to talk about it. There's just no way you're going to stop me. The Calgary Flames have advanced to round two, beating the Vancouver Canucks by a final score of 7-4 in game six of the first round of the Western Conference NHL playoffs. And what makes last night such an incredible journey, if you will, at one point in time, the Vancouver Canucks were leading the Calgary Flames by scores of 3-0 and then 4-3. And the Flames went and scored four goals in the third period, and I'm just like, same old shit from my favorite hockey team. Coming back on the third period to win. This is huge because they advanced to the next round, and they're going to be facing the Anaheim Ducks, and this entire city is absolutely going crazy. But nobody burned anything down, so that's a good thing.
Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah. So
That's because all the riots were going on elsewhere.
Well, the riots usually happen in Vancouver, win or lose, but that's like after the first round. And all of these people who are big fans of this team on the West Coast, we like to call it the Wet Coast because of all the rain and crap, but I don't think they like their city very much because they have a tendency to totally destroy the damn thing.
Right, and since we're doing this...
It's time to throw more sticks into the fire as Fire on Ice continues on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, blast from the past.
Could have played the intro, but that was a minute long.
No, don't play the intro. There's absolutely no reason to. So, I'm pretty sure that people would prefer us actually talking about wrestling instead of, hockey.
Yeah, people get bored with sports, so let's talk about entertainment.
Yeah, so what happened tonight? I guess there was a pre-show available on YouTube like there normally is. Didn't Bad News Barrett originally have a scheduled match with Daniel Bryan tonight?
Yeah, he did. And this is a topic we should get into because we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week on the show. Daniel Bryan is again injured.
Again?
Again?
Or is it just like... an exaggeration or, what do you call that?
At this point, I'd be calling it Rey Mysterio Jr. the third, but...
I want to get a Mason Omega's opinion, really, on this topic. What do you think the future holds for Daniel Bryan?
A wheelchair.
A very quick retirement.
Are we actually going to get to that point here soon?
Well, when you take a look at the way he's been recently, it seems any time he works his ass off to get the title and injures himself in the process, it just seems to be the same rotation over and over again. It's like Rey Mysterio comes back, blows his knee, he's out again, comes back, blows his knee, he's out again. Same thing's happening with Daniel Bryan. His body obviously is not recovering as well as it should be. So, what do we do? I guess it's time to make him sort of go, hey, Daniel, would you like a position on the commentary desk? Or would you like to be GM or something like that? Because honestly, if he's not recovering well enough, then he really needs to think about, stringing the boots up and just not wrestling anymore.
Yeah, I hate to say it because I love his performances in the ring, and he's one of the best, most exciting guys they have. But if he's going to keep wrestling this daredevil style, even after major surgeries and such difficulty recovering in the first place, then it's just too reckless for him to continue at all.
And I think the troublesome thing about all this, we don't know what the injury is.
Well, that, you know, we don't know what the injury is, but at the same time, didn't he actually, like, come back a little bit sooner than he should have?
He not really. Not overly, really, no. Because there was a report out there on the European tour, right before the European tour, he suffered a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what people on the tour were told why he was pulled. And it's sort of like, that's sort of like, well, if it's a concussion, why don't they just say concussion? But he keeps doing Instagrams saying, you know, trying to think, stay positive and everything like that. It makes you wonder, like, is it really the concussion? Or is you know, elbow and shoulder and neck, whatever it is, flaring back up? And it's to the point, like, they were talking about, you may have to find something else for him to do, because there's not much left in his tank, I guess. Because, as you know, Mace would tell you, there's only so many bumps your body has before it says, that's enough.
Well, yeah, there several careers over the years have been cut extremely short due to aggravating nagging injuries, and thanks for to Kane Kittens for actually figuring out what word I was trying to come up with earlier. But Edge had to cut his career short. What's the guy's name with the Concussion Institute?
Christopher Nowinski.
Yeah, Nowinski. He had to cut it short because of head injuries.
Steve Austin, neck.
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Well, it was the same thing with Edge and Steve Austin. They both were told the same diagnosis, and they were done.
Yeah, pretty much. But Austin can, you know, he went and did his fusion surgery, was told you shouldn't wrestle anymore. He sort of still hung on a little bit, but the majority of what he was doing was just riding an ATV around the ring most nights.
No, after he had his fusion surgery, he was in the ring, what, 2-3 years full-time? Because he had it, what, 99? I think he had the fusion surgery, so he at least two and a half years before he, you know.
Surgery. Yeah, he was still one knee brace short of getting to his bad point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, everybody figures he's still got one match left in him. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, though.
Technically, every wrestler still has one match left in them. It's a matter of they can leave the ring afterwards.
Terry Funk still has one more match left.
Terry Funk is like... I don't think... I think he just has one continuous match at this point. Just it starts and stops.
Like... Axelmania. He just keeps going.
Going and going and going and going and going.
His Royal Rumble match that he had that he didn't lose.
How many years has his retirement tour been going on now?
Oh, at least 8.
18, actually.
Yeah,
18. He started retiring back in the 90s. And
he started when he was middle-aged and crazy. Now he's old-aged and crazy.
So basically he's a lot like Motley Crue, doesn't know the meaning of farewell tour.
I mean, even Bret Hart still does wrestling matches.
No, he doesn't really. That doesn't count.
What, him being U.S. champion didn't count a couple years ago?
Not exactly. How did he wind up that he didn't wrestle for it?
He did. He fought The Miz.
I still remember that, too. Not just him winning the title, but me actually predicting it. I said, you guys, you're screwed. You know what's going to happen, right? He's going to win the title from The Miz and carry it for a month as the United States champion. And you're like, oh, fuck off, Tim, blah, 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 blah. It's the following week. We got a clip, an audio clip from Spug.
Yeah, I know. But
Tim was right.
That made as much
sense. You held on to that a long time, haven't you?
He has.
The only win I've had.
That title win made as much sense as the title win we're going to talk about later in this show.
So,
but going back to, you know, topic, Tim, what do you think? Is Bryan's career done?
Well, you know, I'll admit to being a bit of a fan of Daniel Bryan. I mean, I'm a big fan of really good ring work, and Daniel Bryan is really good in the ring. And of course, you know, one of my ultimate dream matches is like a 25-30 minute match between him and Tyson Kidd. But
you have interesting dreams then.
Well, that's a dream match, not a dream. Like, don't get carried away, smartass.
No, I wasn't saying it like that. I mean, you know, yeah, three matches that out of all of them, Daniel Bryan as a kid. Okay.
Anyway, that being said, I would prefer Daniel Bryan being able to, in 15 years from now, walk around and if he and Bray are still married and they wind up having kids, you know, it would be good for him to actually be able to do stuff with his kids.
You don't want him to be the Undertaker.
Well, there's a good example. Of course, the Undertaker's a bit of a different story. The guy's like 50 years old now.
Right.
He shouldn't have been a dad at 48 to begin with.
This is true, but
don't get me wrong. Go through the motions, have fun practicing, but don't actually have the kid.
Well, you know, she wanted one, I guess.
Wait a second! I just gotta point out to Pearson here. Pearson, I'm cheering for the Chicago Blackhawks, just so you know. Anyway, continue.
So we continue your point about Bryan.
Well, the point about Bryan is, if he's that bad off and he's got, those problems, chronic is one word you do not want to have in front of saying neck injury or pain.
Right.
And at this point in time, it might not be a bad idea for him to seriously consider retiring from full-time in-ring action.
Now, reportedly, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. That's what people are hearing, but there's no timetable. Nothing's told. They wait till 5 p.m. to pull him from the show.
Uh-huh. But, the exact nature of his current ailment, what exactly is it?
We don't know.
That's just it. Maybe he broke a toenail.
I don't think he...
I don't remember, though. Take a look at what happened last time Daniel got injured. It was after WrestleMania, and they took the title off him and everything, and they said, oh, yeah, he's going to be out 3 months. He's going to be out 4 months. He was out over a year.
No, I want to correct you. He was out there supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks, 1 year ago from May 4th. He was supposed to be back.
But that's the point, though.
I know.
Is that you've got another window of, you know, he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Guy could be out another year. If he's out another year, then, well, yeah, let's start looking retirement.
Well, you know, if push comes to shove, maybe WWE might need to tell him, you know, creative has nothing for you.
This is true, but going back to the 4 to 6 week thing, say he comes back in 6 weeks. Let's go with that. If you're WWE, how much can you actually rely on him to stay healthy at this point?
Well, that's just
honestly,
it, right?
You can't, unfortunately. I mean, Mace is right. This is a Rey Mysterio situation where he kept getting severely injured, coming back, getting injured again. You can't book someone like that in a storyline because you never know how long they're going to hold up.
This is very true.
And it really puts a huge crimp in WWE's plan of trying to make the IC title and the US title relevant again if they have to strip the IC off of Daniel Bryan if he's out for an extended period of time.
Which, you know, everyone going... It's interesting watching people react. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe they gave the belt to Daniel Bryan. Because all he did was get injured, and now, you know, they should have gave it to my favorite person. Insert whoever your favorite is here instead of Daniel Bryan. How quickly people turn.
Well, yeah, but at the same point, everybody on the internet is like that when it comes to professional wrestling. Oh, I want this guy to get pushed because he gives me all butterflies in my tummy and I love him and blah, blah, blah. And like, fuck, just shut up. if you really want shit like that to happen, then create your own wrestling company and book it yourself.
go to facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling.
There you go.
Out of my head, Rock.
I didn't create it, but I'm booking it. You're booking anyway.
Could have said go to Canadian Opera, but anyway.
Yeah, that's on indefinite hiatus. But it's not dead, and it will be. CAW will be doing shows again.
Yeah, in terms of like what they do with the IC belt, if Brian comes back, can we just put it on Roman Reigns so you know all his fans can shut the fuck up?
No.
I would rather Bad News Barrett carry that belt.
No.
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 No. How about Dolph Ziggler? Is he one of your favorites?
He is, but him and Barrett already turned that belt from a kiss of death to a makeout of death. Those two have like the worst win loss records with that IC title I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just so for Extreme Rules history, 1 year ago, Bad News Barrett won the Intercontinental Championship.
And then, like, not too far down the road, he kind of sort of like dislocated his elbow.
I think he lost the belt, then dislocated his elbow or shoulder going into Money in the Bank. I think it was something to that effect.
Well, here's the question. If you're going to take the IC title off and do some kind of a mini tournament, who do you put it on? Sheamus?
Sandow.
Sheamus?
See, there you go. Fanboying out.
Sheamus really wouldn't be a bad option, honestly.
You know, I brought Sheamus up because it's a legitimate thing. They want to push him as, you know, well, what they're pushing him as, you know, you look stupid. And he does, but that's beside the point.
He's actually drawing some real heat, which is hard to come by right now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because he was the one who injured Daniel Bryan.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. I think Daniel Bryan was already injured and they just did that.
Supposedly my asshole. That guy works fucking stiffer than anybody in Japan.
That's stiff. People who have seen Japanese wrestling might have a bit of an idea, but you don't unless you're up close and personal.
Because, you know, everyone goes back to him throwing Daniel Bryan headfirst to the side of the table. That's part of the reason why Daniel Bryan's injured. Again, supposedly.
Well, again, because let's face it, Daniel Bryan he was pegged as one of WWE's meal tickets alongside John Cena. If he actually really did something to hurt Daniel Bryan, wouldn't he wind up on the losing end with WWE? In other words, you know, getting punished for the potatoes?
No. You got to remember, this is Triple H's love child.
Now, I'm bringing this up for a reason, and Mace has just pointed it out.
By the way, King Ken's no to that idea. Big Show should Big Show should not get the IC title. Just point that out. Continue with your point, Tim.
Anyway, no, my point was I knew that Mace or Omega would bring up that Sheamus would not suffer the consequences of injuring a potential meal ticket.
But again, they can also go back to Luke Harper, who was throwing Daniel Bryan around last night, because that was a report as well. And it's,
you know, how about the fact that for every single match he had for like a year, Daniel Bryan did the same dive through the ropes head first?
Don't bring up logic, Omega. Smarten up.
That was I mean,
dumb down.
That was going to be my next point. We talked about it before he came back. He didn't do it. When he comes back, I think he's going to be forced to change his style.
Well, you know, going back to who would you put the title on, there are two names that actually popped in my head, aside from Sheamus, One of them I would immediately say no, but down the road consider. And I say no immediately because he's too new on the main roster, and of course I'm talking about Neville. The other one, Dean Ambrose. Anybody?
Dean is tricky. Because I get the reason why to put it on him, but I don't know if he's the right guy. If the idea is to build the belt strong, right now I don't know if Ambrose is the right guy just with how they're booking him.
Well, you know, just you stop and think about it. You could put together one hell of a program between him and Sheamus, but in that situation, you give the belt to Sheamus and make Ambrose chase it.
I'd be okay with that. I would throw Luke Harper in there as well, because those would be some interesting matches.
Definitely could be. So I guess we're just going to have to wait to find out what's going on with Daniel Bryan. And I'm pretty positive we're going to be sitting on our thumbs for a month before we find anything out. What do you figure?
I would agree with that, because it's just weird. Like, they wait till 5 p.m. to say something tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even in Chicago.
Well, that tells you something right there, doesn't it?
He wasn't at Raw. He wasn't at SmackDown. He wasn't at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty telling. If it was a concussion or something, they had an idea what it was, they would at least tell us. And I think that's an issue.
But the fact that he's not even traveling anywhere, that kind of says something.
It does. They've pulled him from advertising for this week, too.
Mm. So I guess we're, like I said, we're all just going to have to wait to find out what's going on. And then find out what they're going to do about it. But in the meantime and in between time, buzz through the pay-per-view. The pre-show was Bad News Barrett versus Neville.
I'm going to just say this. I think this was match of the night. For anyone who saw it, I don't know who did or who didn't.
And it was free.
Well, the entire month for new subscribers was for free.
Well, technically.
Yeah, technically.
Or people exploited it like I did.
So, I don't know. I thought this was a really good match. The crowd was really hot for Neville. Bad News Barrett got his heat when he, you know, delivered the Daniel Bryan news. They got something with Neville. They're working something pretty good. I like the finishing spots where Barrett went for the bullhammer. Neville moved. He kicked him in the head. Hit the red arrow after the attempted red arrow where Barrett stopped him and went for that bullet hammer. I thought it was a really good match. What do you guys think?
I did not see it.
How about you, Mace? What do you think?
They kept things very simple, but at the same time they had a very fast pace, which is what you need in an opening matchup. And to be, like everybody has been saying, like those who've never seen Neville before or those who have been watching him since NXT, they're all saying the same thing. Like, this kid's got, like, a massive future ahead of him. He's got a great look. He's got great moveset. And to put on, pretty much, I would agree, I'd probably put it as co-main event of the night for an otherwise shitty pay-per-view. It's just... I don't know, I've lost my train of thought. Thoughts, come back here. Where'd you go?
You lost them.
They ran away.
They're on the streets of Chicago.
Maybe they went for a sandwich and they were hungry. You know, lunchtime in Australia and everything.
They drove off with Luke Harper.
They drove off with Luke Harper.
Yeah, Luke Harper stole my thoughts and took them away.
Okay, there you go. So, Neville coming out victorious. Wins with his signature finisher, the Red Arrow. Oh, that thing's fun to watch.
It is. It's a great move. I don't know how far Neville can go, but right now he's pretty special, and I hope they keep him that way.
He's something unique.
He's a breath of fresh air right now on TV when he wrestles. Because it's fresh matches and stuff.
Yeah, but he's another small guy. I mean, he's built big, but he's what? What are they billing him at? 5'10"?
I think 5'10", 195, I think what Cole said.
Which means that he's like 5'8 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's like very muscular and very, very well put together. But he's another small person. How far are they going to try to take the smaller wrestlers?
At least until he hits the walking glass ceiling known as Kane and Big Show.
I was waiting for you. I don't know why I half expected you to say puberty. Until he hits puberty. It just sounded like you were going there.
No, that was Daniel Bryan. He hit puberty, and then he hit the wall, and then he got
injured. Yeah. So there you go. But, it's always fun watching Neville. And I'm definitely going to be watching this match after we're done here with this little webcast. But I don't know whether I want to waste my time watching the entire pay-per-view or not, because from what I heard, it was not really overly thrilling.
It had its moments. I'm going to throw that out. This paper had its moments.
It had its moments. Okay. Well, why don't we start with the first moment on the main show. Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper in a Chicago street fight.
Or at least part A.
Part A. They brawled. They hit each other with sticks and chairs. And Dean did a crazy spin in and out of the ring. Hit Harper repeatedly with a chair. They fall backstage. Dean then throws a piece of metal at Harper. Harper gets in the car. Dean dives in car. Gets pushed
out. Piece of metal was a PVC pipe.
Oh, it was a PVC pipe. Right.
Yeah, that's why it made a thunk noise. It's why Luke Harper didn't go to the hospital immediately afterwards.
Okay, a piece of PVC pipe. I'll change that.
How do you know they didn't go to the hospital?
They could have.
Okay, this is a valid point.
Harper got in the car, fought him up, pushed Dean out. Dean dove through the window, drove off. And they were gone. I wanted to see them fight actually on the street.
That's where I thought they were going with this. Like, the next thing we'd see, they'd be at, like, some sort of bridge or something, fighting their way into some water or something. Like,
an
just out on the street.
For real.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I could imagine. Like, who was driving? Was it Harper that was driving, or was it
Harper?
Ambrose?
Harper, because Ambrose dove through the window to get him.
Damn, because that blows my idea. Like, you could do like a shot at a McDonald's drive-thru or something. You have Ambrose drive the car up to the window, and he's like punching Harper in the head as he's ordering a cheeseburger.
Well, who's to say that he couldn't have taken over the control of the car at some point in time? Maybe
because it would have caused them to crash.
Well, show this. Pull the car over, have them both get out, and they're wailing on each other. And then Ambrose gets in the driver's seat, and Harper dives in. Well, that would be a trick.
Well, we'll get to it.
You know, and then you have them go
if through. Only they were in a white Bronco.
Too soon.
Really? Too soon? 20 years too soon?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
We're coming up on the 20th anniversary too soon. 20 years, really? Okay.
20 years?
You want to break out your Clinton jokes while you're at it?
Well, they're going to be coming back in fashion, apparently. Just change them around a little bit.
That's like 22 years, isn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, so we had part one of the match. Part one. And then, Kane was told to go find him, and me and Warriors was between Rollins and Kane. But then we had Kiss Me Arse match. Ziggler and Sheamus.
Now, this just sounds like a stupid thing to begin with.
I thought these two would have had better chemistry.
You'd think that, but they were put into a situation with a match type that was just boring as batshit. The crowd was so hot after that beginning, and yeah, they were pissed off because it was like a non-finish for Harper and Ambrose. Little did they know that they were coming back later in the show. But to go into this, and it's like, oh, great. Let's go to sleep now.
So they took too long to get to the second match, and it cooled off the crowd too much, or they just had no chemistry between Ziggler and Sheamus?
We had the Randy Orton chinlock effect tonight in this match a little bit. It just sort of, dragged. It just, they weren't on the same page, it seemed like.
Ziggler is best when he gets to wrestle a very fast style, which is not something Sheamus is going to allow him to do.
Not right
now. Sheamus doesn't wrestle fast to begin with, so yeah, that's too much of a clash in styles.
But they used to have great matches, but that was before Sheamus changed his style. When he
Before the beads.
That was before the beads and the Mohawk, yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, somebody should tell him that the Mohawk is not a Celtic warrior thing.
Go tweet him, Tim.
Road warrior thing.
Anyway, yeah.
And the finish itself, I was like, I blinked and I was, wait, what? Did that actually happen?
What exactly was the finish?
I think he basically rolled him up. That's what I think it was. Like, I did not see it. I blinked and I missed it.
Hold on, I've got it here. He readied Ziggler for the bro kick. Ziggler blocked it. Rolls him up. Sheamus comes right back, slams Ziggler for a two count. Ziggler blocks a suplex and rolls Sheamus up again for the win.
Okay, blocked the suplex and the roll up. Okay.
So it was a roll up.
Yeah, well, so it was indeed a roll up. Okay. It was just one of those finishes. Sheamus was beating on him, doing anything he can. Ziggler would get up, but it's like, you didn't buy it. But it's like, here's the roll up and Ziggler wins. It's like, okay, so Sheamus is kissing ass now?
Yeah, you're expecting something more. You're expecting, like, Sheamus to just dominate this entire thing, and maybe, if you're lucky, Ziggler squeaks out the win, which is what happened. I think it was maybe the match length was too short, or something just didn't seem right. It was like, oh, shit, all of a sudden, quick, go to the finish.
Wait, well, the
match is over? What?
Well, what they were going for was this. Right now, they're booking Sheamus as just this guy who comes and squashes the smaller mid-card guys. So they're playing that up the whole match. Is just, well, he can't, Ziggler can't quite get off the blocks. Like, part of me feels that this is intentional, the way they're booking Sheamus right now to just be this giant picking, bullying the mid-card.
Be a star.
Absolutely. But I would kind of blame that. I'd also kind of blame it on the quick finish. Whereas it's the type of finish you'd have on Big Show if Big Show was small enough to be rolled up in the first place. Where it's it very much feels like Ziggler just kind of snuck it by because he didn't have any other way of winning.
If Neville did it to Sheamus, it probably would have worked better.
Kind of like how Bret Hart beat Diesel with the. Turning a power bomb into a small package.
Talk about 20-year-old reference.
Yeah, that's more like that's close. Yeah, closer to 25.
No, Diesel.
No, that's about 20 years ago. You're right.
Rumble. It was Survivor Series
1995. Yeah.
What was that? What Survivor Series? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 25 years. 20 years, man.
Where he just kicked the living crap out of Bret. Bret looked like he was totally gone. He puts him into the. Position for the power bomb, and Bret drops down. Diesel's looking around. What am I going to do? And then next thing you know, he's in a small package.
If you're looking for 20-year-old references, welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, that was when wrestling was interesting to watch.
What?
Said who?
That's when we were seeing all these storylines and match finishes for the first time.
Yeah, pretty much. First time for us. Excuse me.
So anyway, after the match, Sheamus was complaining that it was a two count, and then, they hemmed and hauled, and they hemmed and hauled, and eventually...
Oh, big surprise, he didn't kiss his arse?
No, Ziggler kept teasing that he would pull up his tights and show his ass, and showed what corner
off. How crazy did the fangirls go every time Ziggler did that?
It was loud.
They won it more. Sheamus then hit a low blow, bro kick. He refused to kiss his ass and then rubbed Ziggler's face on his side of his ass.
Oh, boy. So we'll get Monday Night Fallout tomorrow on this.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Tune into the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern to find out.
There you go. All right, so there it is. Ziggler wins, but gets his face rubbed in Sheamus's posterior for posterity.
Yes.
All right. Next match on the card tonight were the tag team titles defending champions Cesaro and Kid taking on New Day.
Sucks.
New Day?
Sucks.
New Day sucks.
They had a decent match.
Well, it's Cesaro and Kid.
Who were over tonight.
Over as hell, yeah.
So what are they now? Are they good guys now, or is it just the Chicago crowd being quasi-Canadian?
This was bizarre all around. You had a lot of matches that should have been heel versus heel that somehow didn't go that way.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if it's just the Chicago crowd, because...
It wasn't, because over in Europe, the Cesaro and Kid were getting over.
Well, I would expect that there, because it's Cesaro.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys really quickly. Is this another case of the fans turning heels into baby faces?
No, I wouldn't go
They were up against the New Day.
Yeah, they were booked as, they were booked as baby faces tonight. You could tell.
Did anybody miss the Usos and their Where Are My Guard Keys dance?
No.
No, not in the slightest.
Okay.
But I will say this. Like, you could put... X-Pac at his worst day against the New Day, and he'd be cheered as a face.
I was thinking Gene Snitsky immediately after kicking the baby.
He was a face because he kicked the baby. That was fucking hilarious.
It was funny as hell. Not that we're advocating kicking babies, everybody. It was a doll. Relax.
Yeah.
But hey, that thing went through the uprights for 3 points.
I think it's still going up. I haven't seen it come down yet.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, New Day is really, oh my god.
And to their credit, they're eating it up now.
So they're just basically they basically turned around to feed on it.
They're feeding on
especially Big E. Big E is coming out of this looking like $1 million.
Oh, I bet you he's having a hell of a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. This match was decent. It had its good moments. Big E looked really good in this match. Cesaro had a bunch of corner-to-corner uppercuts, which was pretty cool.
Cesaro had a lot of good spots in this match.
He did.
He picked Big E out of the fucking air and slammed him like a bitch.
He did. Yeah, that was the first thing in my notes. Cesaro caught Big E in midair and slammed him down, yeah.
Cesaro was like...
I watched, surprisingly enough, I watched a bit of SmackDown, and to see him do that to Kofi, I was like, that's impressive. Now he does it to Big E, and I'm like, holy fuck.
Like, Cesaro is, like, legitimately, like, the scariest guy on the roster.
He's freakishly strong for his size. Cesaro is.
Yes, he is. Kofi went for a Trouble in Paradise sharpshooter. My kid, because he ducked at the Trouble in Paradise. Big E broke it up with the big throw. Cesaro hit a running uppercut on Big E. Swing, the giant swing and the drop kick. Woods is distracting the ref. Natty slaps Woods. Kofi then rolls up. Cesaro holds the tights. And your winners and new team champions, the New Day.
That sounds pretty psychy.
I like how just about every recap for this ends with the New Day ends up stealing the win for the gold.
Stealing.
That's racist!
Whoa. That's not racist.
Yeah. The belts are clearly bronze.
They stole 2 pennies.
You're racist for thinking it's racist because they happen to be black. That's just coincidental.
Oh, hell yeah. Look, I knew that. Yeah.
God damn it, you set me up again, didn't you?
I've been hanging with Bowman too much, man, and my vocabulary has been using the N-word way too much lately.
Oh, well, that'll explain it. All good, though. All good. So, New Day takes time.
I gotta say this. The look on Woods' face after copying the slap from Natty was absolutely hysterical. You look like... Woods is almost a live-action cartoon character at this point.
Uh-huh.
Well, he does want to be a Power Ranger.
Yeah, true. But at the same time, he's doing good in his role of, you know, I'm injured, so I'm just going to stand on the outside and be a cheerleader. Like, at one point, he's the crowd's doing the whole, you know, New Day sucks thing, and he's turning around, looking at the crowd going, what did we do? We're winning!
He is getting into that role quite well.
Whoops.
Like, I will give them credit. They are parlaying this backlash against the New Day really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was supposed to be, like, a really cheap go-nowhere face gimmick because they completely backpedaled on the whole Malcolm X thing that they were doing
before. Oh, that still pisses me off. That still pisses me off. They should have done it.
I'm sure that would have gone over so well.
Oh, screw the sensitivity of all those pussies. It's about time that people, you know, developed a bit of a thicker skin again.
Well, point being, they actually did... They've accidentally created a decent heel faction that actually has legitimate heat to them.
And it's only getting... acting like baby faces.
Yeah, it's only getting better because they are playing up to it now.
Well, who knows? Maybe it'll get really good. I've, you know, right from day one, you already know my opinion of New Day, so I'm not going to reiterate it. I hate them.
So, New Day sucks?
Yes, New Day sucks, but they are the new tag team champions. Wait, who was in the ring? Kofi and Big E?
They're the ones who wrestle.
Yeah, every time I hear his name, Big E, my brain just finishes that with the word fries. Wendy's reference.
Yes.
Those who didn't get it.
Thank you.
Data references and fast food references right here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, hey, we keep you up to date on absolutely shit. Fuck all.
Anyway, the New Day were praising themselves in the back, and then you hear a car ride by. Hey! Ambrose is now driving the car.
How'd that happen? Hey, why didn't he go through the drive-thru on the way back?
How did Ambrose get in control of this car now? And I want to know where else they parked.
It will be one of the new wrestling mysteries, along with who's driving the Hummer.
I hope there's, like, going to be WWE app footage of them, you know, or on, you know, .com or whatever. Hey, they fought here and here. Exclusive footage. I don't know. That'd be kind of awesome.
On the network. Network exclusive footage.
And network exclusive footage for only $9.99.
Where you see them stop at a 7-Eleven.
Security footage. Like security and traffic cam footage that legally they'd never be able to get their hands on. But they got it anyway.
Somehow.
Footage of them stopping at a local grocery store to a manager who kept screaming, "Fuck, not again."
Booker T. Steve Austin.
So Ambrose and Harper, you know, return. Ambrose dives up the car. They fight back to the ring, and then it was like powerbomb onto a chair by Harper for a two count, and it went chairs, everyone throws chairs. Or actually that happened first, and then it was powerbomb on a chair, but they were throwing chairs everywhere. Harper was then throwing chairs on Ambrose then eventually got out of the way. He hit Dirty Deeds not on a chair. He completely missed the chair, but it was supposed to be on the chair. And Dean Ambrose
the chair and missed.
He aimed and missed. It's like the one spot there was no chair. That's where he landed. And Ambrose wins the Chicago Street Fight, so everybody can stop complaining.
Yeah, they won. Well, here's a question for you. Actually, this one is for Mason. This just goes to booking a show that's, like, you know, basically televised. A match like this where it's a street fight and they actually literally take it out of the arena and you're assuming they're fighting on the street. You don't see any of this because, you know, whatever. What would you think of the booking of them actually, you know, like coming back into the arena before leaving again and building it up so it winds up that they wind up finishing the match right before the main event in the arena? And just,
yeah,
like, dragging the match out all pay-per-view long.
After a while, because you got to remember, it's a 3-hour pay-per-view, and you'd be dedicating at least 2 hours to updates between matches and that. Mm-hmm. It would drag quite a while. The timing of the way they've done it is actually quite good, just to keep a decent pace for the match.
Okay.
And, you know, it would have been nice if it was like, oh, look, you know, Harper and Ambrose have pulled out the front of the arena and then have to battle their way through and then down through the crowd into the ring. That would have been the only change I made to it, was where they entered instead of going through the backstage area again.
Yeah.
But, hey, could have been worse. Could have been like many other street fights we've had in recent years where they don't even leave the fucking ring.
This was a very, like, 90s-style kind of hardcore match. I almost thought Dean won the hardcore title tonight.
I was waiting for Al Snow to come and throw somebody into the water.
Crash Holly coming and sneaking out the win after everything's all said and done.
I miss Crash.
I think we all do. So there you have it. Up next, everybody, we've got our first, last, and only timeout of the evening happening. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to come back. We're going to finish off talking about this pay-per-view. We've still got the Russian Chain match, the Divas title match, Last Man Standing match, and, of course, the main event. Stick around. We will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer. Producer of the show.
Shut up. With the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever to Rob come, for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow.
I insult myself real bad. Wow.
Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
Alright. I Rob Buzz, your godfather trade for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, the Extreme Rules pay-per-view review show. Just one question, Rock. What possessed you to play that song coming back?
It was the Extreme Rules song from 2014.
From last year. You know what's really weird?
What, Tim?
that is the song for the big show. And I don't mean the wrestler. I'm talking about the sports cast in the afternoons here in Calgary, Alberta, on Fan 960 AM. The big show is the Calgary Flames afternoon talk show.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so. It's just, you know, happy coincidence, I guess. Who knows? Anyway, I just want to tell everybody listening who, if you're not in the chat room, come to the chat room. We've got a bunch of people here, you know, and we're being all interactive and shit like that. And I'm addressing people, you know, some people in particular. Type this into your web browser, wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. Okay? And the reason why I'm telling you to do that, to interact with us in the chat room, is because my phone is on the charger. Quit sending me text messages during the program. Just come into the chat room. Relax. Take it easy. You're listening already. You might as well be in chat, too. And that being said, why don't we talk about the U.S. title Russian chain match? We got John Cena, who is the defending champion, in a rematch against Rusev.
Now, this sort of confused me a little bit. Because when... Because I had Eden doing the ring introductions and everything. And when explaining the match, they made it sound like it was a... like just a standard no DQ style match. Then they start putting them together like as a strap match. I'm like, the fuck?
Well, on Monday Night Raw, John Cena sort of explained that the rules that would be the basic strap match rules, where you have to touch all four corners.
But instead of a strap, they used a chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it was a Russian chain match.
Out of Vladimir Putin's no-no box. Anyway.
They don't have straps in Russia. They only have chains.
They only have chains.
That's because they don't have cows in Russia. No leather. No ability to make straps.
Except for the straps that they put on their wrist. One had a USA flag, one had a Russian flag, I think. I never saw his...
To presume Russian, yeah.
I never... All I saw was Cena's flag. I never saw Rusev's. So... Is it wrong to say that the series of matches peaked with the first one?
Nope.
This one wasn't their greatest match, but it was still a good match for what it was. Like, anytime you have these new start, like the strap matches where you got to make sure you touch all four turnbuckles and all that shit, of course it's just going to consist of them, you know, trying to drag each other to the corners after they beat the shit out of each other. So for what they got out of it, it was a good match.
Considering there's a steel chain involved, I really feel like I should have been a little bit more excited by the match.
And could Rusev have whipped him a little bit harder with the chains at times? It seemed very, very safe and soft.
It's strangely enough, Rock, it seemed like he was aiming for the mat and not Cena.
What? Man, I remember these chains and strap matches where you see the big welt on the back.
But it's not a strap match.
I know. Speaking of the chain match, it's about to start again. I was underwhelmed. The match was fine for what it was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, were you really expecting it to be anything fantastic?
I was distinctly whelmed by the match.
Not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed.
No, just whelmed.
Whelmed.
Like, you came into this with an expectation because of the last two matches that they've had against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, well, we've already seen these matches twice already, and we've come to expect these guys to at least beat the shit out of each other. They beat the shit out of each other. I'm happy.
Cena eventually got to all four lights and won the match. Nothing. And it wasn't, to me, it wasn't much.
I love how it's just like stupidly cartoon it is, because the heel in the match has a red light and the hero has a green light.
Right.
Red light, green light.
And I guess that's what technology brings us. It's sort of like, hey, we have lights, because I was watching Extreme Rules from last year, I think it was. No, not from last year. A couple years back, where they did one where they had the lights on the poles. I was like, hey, we have lights now. Hooray.
Did they actually get someone who knew which button hit which light at the first? Because tonight they had a little bit of trouble getting that straight.
If you remember correctly, like when they first brought in the light gimmick, they screwed that up too.
Oh yeah, I get it. It's easier for the crowd to keep track, and it gives you something visual actually happening during the match, since you don't have things like pinfalls or countouts or things like that. Test it first. How about this? You go to Walmart. You buy a WWE ring playset, and you put the buttons on that.
Go through your standard practice. Left, green, right, red. Left, green, right, red. Left, green, right, red. Left, green, right, red.
It's not a fucking Simon.
It sounds like a real genius way of doing things.
So the big talking point from this match is everyone wanted Lana. They got Lana. She did her fancy wave to the crowd. Rusev said, You go back. You go bye bye.
Crowd. And they kicked Lana out?
They kicked Lana out. They went boo. She left.
Aw.
It's a perfect heel move. The crowd wants Lana. Rusev says, Lana, fuck off. Deny the crowd what they want. They get angry. They blame Rusev. Oh, he's a heel. What a shock.
Worked so well for the Miz and Mizdow for months. Until you did fuck all with it.
I think if we did a show, that is Omega's fail.
Because, let's just build up this feud for months, blow it off in, what, two matches, because the Miz has a movie to go perform.
Oh, yeah. And his co-star is now a heel, too. Because you have to make him the most unlikable douche nozzles on the entire roster, and then tell him, buy our movie. The Marine 4, starring these two twat baskets. That's exactly what I want.
That was almost a rant, Omega.
I know.
That's awesome.
It was funnier last night.
That was. But God damn it, I came up with the term twat basket, and I'm going to use it.
Hashtag it.
Hashtag twat.
That's a great hashtag with my PG YouTube channel.
Can't use the hashtag. Do it. So, but I wanted to mention the Lana point because it plays up to stuff happening throughout the rest of the show. So John Cena is still your United States champion.
Uh-huh.
We then move to the Divas Championship, Nikki Bella and Naomi.
And what was memorable about this match?
Naomi.
Absolutely
shoes.
Fucking nothing.
No.
Except her shoes.
Naomi's shoes.
Fucking shoes.
I was distracted by the shoes. They changed colors from purple to yellow to green to blue.
No. One of them.
One of them.
What, were the batteries dead in the other one?
No. It was like the little sensor didn't work on that her left shoe.
Her left shoe. Yeah. Like, she apparently had these the other day. I just never noticed them, but tonight they were very noticeable because she had the black gear, so all you saw was the color changing on her feet. Repeatedly.
So, like, were they supposed to change color every time she planted her foot, or what?
No, I think they were timed out a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't think it was time, because when she stomped her foot hard enough, it changed.
Okay, then.
Like, literally half the match, I was just watching to see how the fuck her shoes worked.
Okay, so it was like those little girl light up shoes that you see the kids wear every time they take a step, it lights up.
Yeah, she had an outfit like a dominatrix and shoes like a fifth grader.
Not my kind of fantasy.
It was one of those distracting things.
It really was. Like, okay, I appreciate the fact that they did something a little different with the wardrobe. I will admit it's kind of neat. I can imagine someone over at WWE 2K15 going, fuck, how do we program that?
Yeah.
But it's just, you just stare at her feet the whole match because, ooh, pretty light. Ooh, shiny.
That's exactly what I did. I was staring at the feet the entire time waiting to see when they changed colors.
For a Divas match, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was a decent match.
They actually had some legit good
but
chemistry.
But fucking shoes!
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, she also has new music. Naomi has new music. Funk is no longer on a roll.
Yeah, she's like the sixth person to reject that theme song now.
Well, she's a heel now, so she needed different music. So
and crappy cardboard glasses.
I don't know what those are.
Sasha Banks wants her glasses back?
Pretty much. I thought for a second it was somebody ripping off Sasha Banks.
So, Dan, what do you think of the shoes now?
Dude. It's like before, yeah, I'm just, just so everybody knows, Rock sent me a link for an animated GIF to watch Naomi's entrance. And looking at this, before the camera actually pans up and you don't see the feet anymore,
uh-huh.
It kind of sort of reminds me of those Asian kids living in Southeast Calgary driving their little Honda Civics that they've tricked out and put spoilers on the trunk. On the back of it, and then they put the running lights underneath the car.
See, now, I missed the whole thing with the shoes the entire match because I didn't pay any attention to it whatsoever. So now I'm actually seeing it. It looks like one of those things like, you've seen like the cat fights where they superimpose in lightsabers and shit like that? That's what it looks like to me right now. It's like somebody has put those in as like an after effect.
Superimposed shoe sabers.
Yeah, pretty much. It looks like weird Adobe Elements additions or something.
Darth Reebok.
Hey.
Oh, those would be actually pretty cool.
That was actually pretty good. Darth Reeboks. So, yeah, women had a wrestling match and nobody cared.
No, it was actually good. They had a good match. The finish was Naomi was holding onto the ropes. She was trying not to be touched by Nikki Bella. The referee backed up. Nikki, Brie kicked her in the head. Rack attack. You're a winner. Still Divas Champion, Nikki Bella.
And who's surprised by that?
I was?
You was? How come you was?
Because they just turned Naomi, so I figured, hey, let's keep her heel run rolling and give her the championship. Would have made sense. But then the Bellas were heel. I got confused who was good, who was bad, and yeah, I got confused.
There is no good or bad, Rock.
I know. I saw the quote, too.
There's only shades of gray.
How many of
them? Apparently there are 50 of them.
Yeah, how many shades of gray are there? Yeah, Nikki Bella is still your champion.
Yeah, I know what my suit is, what my costume is going to be for Halloween. A suit with 50, that is painted 50 different shades of gray.
So something
I'm sure Home Depot will love you.
So something out of your closet already?
No, not something in my closet already. Don't be a smartass, because you're not funny. You just... Neither were you. Completely fail. That's all. I mean, I'm trying to find the words to explain this. And words are failing, because there are no words to describe adequately how badly he's failing.
So we found this card last night, didn't we, Omega? We're playing cards.
Oh, God.
Now what?
I can't remember the exact phrasing. Do you remember?
Which card?
The joke card. The repeated joke card.
Oh, that.
Yeah. It's like the perfect tip card. Anyway.
God, hang on.
He's going to try to remember what it was. We'll come back to that. As you start looking for it. I brought up Lana earlier, and, well, Rusev was yelling at Lana backstage, and, well, he sends her on her way, and where she goes? She goes to see the Authority.
Uh-oh. Why?
We'll tell you in a bit.
Oh.
It left us on a cliffhanger, because they went to the next match.
Yeah, as opposed to the last Authority promo that was like 4 minutes grinding the pay-per-view to a halt. The audience did not like.
Now, we got to the most anticipated match of the night.
The last man standing match, Roman Reigns taking on the Big Show.
There was a very apt sign during Reigns' entrance that really described this match perfectly.
And what was that?
Last man awake.
Last man awake. That's mean. Funny as hell.
All right.
The one next to it was mean, calling Roman a Virgil.
Yeah. All right.
No.
So, thanks to King Cannon, it's using the same shitty joke over and over because you think it'll get funnier when it's actually getting shittier. That was the perfect Tim card. Thank you, King Cannon.
No, not even close.
This match had a great finish. I liked the finish. The 10 minutes prior, however long it was.
You liked the finish.
I did. I thought it was fun.
How was that fun? Explain your questionable logic to us, please.
It was different. He dumped the announce table on the Big Show.
The 4,500-pound announce table that was impossible to lift off the Big Show.
Did you see how many guys it took to lift it back up?
Did you see how many wobbles it had in it when they were standing on the thing?
Yeah, I did. It's in my notes. It was not holding them up pretty well. It was shaking.
It was shaking. Big Show squirming underneath it before Roman Reigns had to stand on it just to keep it still, just to keep the illusion up. Because before that, it was just jumping all over the place because the thing weighs like 100 pounds.
So how well did Roman Reigns sell that it was heavy when he lifted it up to throw on Big Show?
You would have thought it was moving Vesuvius.
Like the look on Reigns' face was like he was trying to lift a mountain, but the actions were like, and it's up, and it's over.
Huh.
Hard as he struggled, you would have thought there'd be a crater, either where the desk originally was or where it landed.
And the thing that sort of annoyed the entire thing for me was Reigns had just speared Big Show through the Spanish announce table, which you'd think would be enough.
Yeah, I legit thought that was the finish.
At that point.
And then
Reigns goes and lifts Mount Vesuvius, as Omega said. But at the same time, Big Show had enough time to get on his feet and then, oh shit, it's the finish. Oh no, I fell down again.
They got to figure out something if they're going to keep doing matches between Roman Reigns and Big Show.
No, no, don't even say those words. No.
No, no more matches between Big Show and Reigns. Please, no more. I am tapping out.
Like, legit, that's it. We're done. No more. Roman Reigns keeps winning now. We're done. He beat him. And I'm going to quote Michael Cole, Roman Reigns has arrived.
For the 8th time in a year.
Michael Cole actually said that?
Michael Cole said it, then Jerry Law repeated it. Roman Reigns has arrived tonight, is what he added. He added the word tonight.
Wow.
selling point. Roman Reigns has arrived.
No, selling point was JBL's notes saying that the Big Show has to lose weight.
Okay, that's a funny little improv moment. I like that.
Bright spots.
Somebody said JBL lose weight?
No, JBL's notes said Big Show must lose weight.
Like, literally, when they were doing the whole announce table thing, when Big Show was clearing the English announce table. Because this was the swerve of the night. They cleared the English announce table, and then they annihilated the Spanish announce table without clearing it. Fooled you!
That's kind of funny.
But while they were clearing it out, when Big Show was clearing off the table, one of the things he picked up was like a little spiral notepad, little kind of flip-over kind. And he flipped over the cover and said, "What do you mean Big Show needs to lose weight?"
Sounds like the commentary team was, at least they were on point tonight.
Well, no, that was Big Show's gag.
God.
Alright, so I thought the finish was good. I was different, but the rest of the match was slow and plodding and just...
A Big Show match.
Yes. There were some good table spots in the match. I'll give them that.
They did. Roman Reigns got chokeslammed through two tables from the outside. Big Show crashed into a table.
Big Show slammed his fists on a table that didn't break, so expect that one in Botchamania.
Took him two tries.
As I'm scrolling through Tumblr, what did I just see? Bam! Him trying to break it. Post it for people to see in the chat room as well. He's pounding on it. He's pounding on it.
Oh, that's a good loop.
He's pounding on it. He's pounding on it. It just didn't break.
Just won't break.
Just won't break.
It looks like he's really upset that there is no pie on the table.
So,
oh, God.
So Roman Reigns is your winner, and he has arrived. Once again, he has arrived.
God. So, that brings us to... That's got to be the main event.
Not just yet.
No? What happened?
No, what happened was, Randy Orton was talking to Kane and, well, you know, told him that, you know, he could be thrown out like garbage like Randy Orton was. By the authority. And then Bo Dallas woke up the crowd. And then told them they have to follow rules and treat each other better. And then, well, they also need to Bo leave. And then Ryback came out. Shell shock. Meat hook. Shell shock. Bye-bye, Bo Dallas. It was fun while it lasted. Omega had...
It goes to show they had a 5-minute gap to fill.
Thank you, Daniel Bryan. Omega had a theory, though.
I came, like, close to predicting this exact thing.
Oh?
Well, because I figured Ryback was going to come out and actually annihilate Bo. Because, oh, hey, he's not on the card, and they really want to build him up for some reason.
Because they need to... Do Bray Wyatt versus the Ryback.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be the start of that feud since, you know, Bray... I figured Bray would have something to do on the card. And, nope!
Well, he was on the pre-show. They did the promo.
I just thought it would have been, like, an amusing, like, tongue-in-cheek, oh, he saved his brother, but we're not going to say it.
Hey, could happen tomorrow. Could happen tomorrow.
Good.
So, I mentioned... Well, while back to Lana stuff, well, we know what Lana did with the authority at Payback. The final chapter in Cena Rusev.
It's not another one.
It's an I Quit match. In 3 weeks.
But John Cena has never uttered those two words in his entire career.
Which means he still won't say those two words every week at Payback.
Not to...
Hey, at least this way, John Cena is not kicking out at two.
Yeah, not to say spoiler alert, but you know.
You know. Then we get to the main event. Steel Cage. RKO is banned. Gatekeeper is Kane. Seth Rollins, Randy
Orton. Who's the Keymaster?
Seth Rollins, Randy Orton. Now, before we get into this match, I want to throw this topic out there for you guys to discuss. The lack of curb stomp going forward. Thoughts?
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
I don't like the arbitrary changing of a finisher. I kind of get why they want to do it, because supposedly they want to do it as not to ban the move, but more make it something that can be pulled out on a moment's notice, like out of nowhere.
Which, I don't know. I get the idea that they're like saying don't use the curb stomp anymore because of all of these lawsuits WWE has been facing lately.
Oh, you mean the fucking ambulance chaser?
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much to that, because they have plenty of things that hit the head still.
Yeah.
You'd have to ban like 25% of the moves they do if that was the case. No, I still kind of see it more as
it's a precaution PR measure because, like, even though we don't want to blame the ambulance chaser, let's face it, if that gets into the mainstream media, guess what clips they're going to be showing all over every stupidly informed news program?
The ones they show to promote WrestleMania.
The one where you're seeing him get curb stomped, whoever he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're probably curtailing that temporarily.
They're not,
meaning
they're,
it could be a year before they bring it back.
They're saying it's not banned. He just got a new finisher.
Bullshit.
What's his new finisher? It's so new, he doesn't know what it is yet.
In a weird way, I don't mind it because the curb stomp is one of those moves that requires such a specific setup. It's like the same way the Booker T's axe kick has to be delivered. And I hate how the axe kick has to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I'm going to kick you in the gut, and the same as the famouser. I'm going to kick you in the gut. Now, stay hunched over exactly like that at that exact height while I bounce off the ropes for a little bit.
Yeah. Don't move now. It'll come in about 45 seconds.
Now, we've all seen what they replaced it with on Monday night.
The dirty
dirty, not quite deeds, but going the opposite way, I guess.
No,
which is, you know, a so much better move that's going to drop them straight onto their face while jerking their neck forward at the same point as they go down. Because, you know, that's a lot safer than the curb stomp.
I brought this up Thursday. I feel bad for Finn Balor going forward.
Oh?
Because he does the double stomp from the top rope. How long until they axe that?
I don't... Well, no, because that doesn't land directly on the head like the curb stomp does.
Yeah, but it is a dangerous move.
Yeah, but we're arguing concussions here.
Still stomping on people. I'm just saying, I would look out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we can ban all kicks while we're at it then. Because technically that is stomping someone at a vertical position.
Hey, that's what they wanted. That's what the lawsuit wanted. All damaging moves to be done.
We shouldn't have had a bro kick tonight.
No, we shouldn't.
By that logic, no.
Time to fire Sheamus.
By that logic, we should just be banning all bumps.
That's what, no, legitimately, that's what they wanted.
Let's all go to thumb wrestling.
What you have to do is make sure that you go to Walmart and get those two each, one for each hand, memory foam pillows.
Yeah.
And you hit each other with the memory foam, and you use memory foam pillows because they like they stay stiff, but they hurt even less than feather pillows.
Let's just have matches where everyone's wearing sock and boppers.
That's just stupidity on a grand scale.
Oh God, I'm distracted now. The light up, the light up shoes are on my TV now.
Rock, over here.
Oh, okay, okay.
Focus. Okay. Focus.
But the blinking lights. Change color.
Right. Mr. Attention Span.
So the match itself.
ADD.
So we have the match. What do you guys think of the match?
It was a cage match.
It certainly was.
It was a challenger versus the champion who's a member of the Authority.
I felt bad for Kane early. Early in the match. By the way, happy birthday, Kane. 48 years old. I felt bad for him where he had just had to, you know, to open the cage door. He had to slowly walk up the steps, pull a little piece out of the cage, lock, open up the door, shut it, lock it, walk back down the steps. And he had to do that a couple times. I felt bad for him. It was, like, awkward.
You'll feel bad for him. You know how much money he gets for opening that door?
True.
Yeah, I'd happily, like, walk up and downstairs to open a door for that kind of money.
Yeah, well, he's definitely getting free pizza tonight, so it's all good.
And cake, because it is his birthday.
Oh, cake, yeah, cake too.
Cake too. One of the cool spots, Orton hit the pedigree.
I'm assuming it's double sweet cake.
Orton's getting fired for using the pedigree. Expect that on Monday night.
I just like Rollins trying to squirm out of it, his legs moving back and forth. Don't hit me with it, and gets planted with the pedigree. It's kind of awesome.
That was a funny spot. Like I kind of liked that.
Orton went for the punt. He missed. Kane then politely shut the door on Randy Orton.
Politely?
He politely shut the door. Just like, no, I'm not. You're not coming out. I'm gonna just politely shut the door on you. You're not allowed to escape.
Well, that was mighty kind of you.
It was. Rollins then drop kicks the door because it wasn't sealed shut, and it hit Kane. And you know, that made Kane mad. And while both men were trying to escape, Kane slams door on both men. This time it wasn't polite. Yanks starts ripping off his tie and jacket and everything. Choke slams JJ security. Then he chokeslams Randy Orton. Rollins tries to leave. He's like, I'm gone. Kane's like, nope. Pulls him back in. Chokeslams the Rollins. And then doing what's best for business, Kane dragged Rollins on Orton, but Orton kicked out at two. Randy Orton then hit the RKO on Kane, but then Seth Rollins hit the RKO on Randy Orton and escaped the cage.
Wait a minute. Wasn't the RKO banned from this match? Or was it just banned for Randy?
Well...
No, they specifically said at the start of the match, the RKO is banned.
That sounds like a funky kettle of fish for tomorrow night.
And you know what? Yeah, I worked out a way around it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Rollins comes out first thing Monday and says, I did not use the RKO. I used the diamond cutter.
King Kidd in our chat room earlier on when we were having a live chat throughout the show brought up that Randy Orton's going to bring out this brand new move. It's the Diamond Cutter. Never seen before ever, the Diamond Cutter.
It's different. You see Rollins will come out and say, I've been training for weeks to perfect that move, mm-hmm. and here is my trainer, and then John Laurinaitis comes out.
Oh, God.
Hashtag Ace Crusher.
Hey, look, it would be better than him coming out and going, oh, the RKO was only banned for Randy Orton, it wasn't banned for me. At which point the crowd will start chanting bullshit.
Could you say Randy Orton is looking for payback?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, where's Raw tomorrow night?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, home of the package. Because I'm just wondering about...
I like that qualifier, home of the Packers.
That's yeah, just wondering about the quality of the crowd. Now, I'm not saying that Green Bay will provide a shitty crowd. I'm just saying that they're not going to be...
I don't know. What letter grade did they get?
I think raunchy they were, or raucous?
I think they were one of the lower grade. I think they were maybe a B or a C.
So fucking stupid.
I like how everyone made that a big deal when they've probably been letter grading the towns for years.
Oh, yeah.
But because the internet found a hold of it, it's a thing. Because you don't know what the letter grade means. Those with your town kids.
You're just making the assumption.
My guess is, hey, hi, major cities that draw well and, you know, cities that don't. It's an assumption.
By the way, you're right, Rock. The shoes are distracting.
I told you.
I watched him go from green to yellow to blue to white.
That's exactly what I saw you doing the entire match. It's like, me and Lindsay were trying to have a conversation, and we're just distracted by the colors of the shoes.
That's just not right.
Like, they're blue and green at the moment. It's distracting.
Jeez. So, Extreme Rules. Was it anything that was not expected after the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania?
I did not expect the shoes.
I did not expect the shoes.
I also didn't.
Never mind the shoes.
I also didn't expect a bitch to steal an RVD move.
We all know how sensitive Omega is about the RVD moves.
Yeah, the RDV.
I corrected myself before.
RDV, the whole show fucking.
Okay, careful how you say that. Phrasing!
By the way, the sensor on the other shoe did work. It just took a lot of controlling for it to work.
Yeah, it eventually did start to change. When she started grabbing her foot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey.
So the wires were loose.
Or maybe it had to actually be turned on.
My God. What happens if we combine those shoes and Jericho's jacket?
The world will explode.
As we know it, it will come to an end.
Yeah, so there you go. Distracting shoes is key. Anyway, it wasn't a great show. It wasn't the worst show. Like, there were worse shows we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised by the New Day winning.
That was a bit of a...
I wasn't, Rob wasn't, the Magic 8-Ball wasn't.
Wait a minute, the Magic 8-Ball picked?
New Day.
Oh my God, Magic 8-Ball picked.
We do it every Thursday night on the rack when we do picks. We play. We try to take down the Magic 8-Ball.
Jeez.
And we fail this time around.
Damn. Spectacularly.
Yeah, we did.
Whoa. The 8-Ball went 5-2 this week.
Yeah, me and Lindsay failed against the Magic 8-Ball, though.
Wow. Rock, you went 4-3, and Lindsay went 3-4.
Yeah, we failed. We wanted to take down the 8-Ball, and we couldn't.
Okay, you know what really hurts? This is painful. Starscream Josh was a perfect 7-0.
I thought you were going to say you did the same as the Magic 8-Ball.
I tied the Magic 8-Ball, which means I did better than you.
Yes, you did this time around.
So, just wild. So congratulations, Starscream Josh gets bragging rights for the next 3 weeks. Second place tie with Amy and Oli, 6-1. Then Omega Mace, me, 8-Ball, Brent, Michael, Tommy, and Mark 316 all went 5-2.
Of course I would tie with a fucking toy.
There you go. Yeah.
Hold on. You said me, Omega, and the 8-Ball, and that just, you know, me, Omega, and the 8-Ball. That's anyway. What kind of fun did you guys have with the 8-Ball?
Shut up, Rock. You're not making sense. You're typing.
Especially because it was a
3.
Magic 8-Ball too.
It was a Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah, you tied with Rob and.
I don't remember what happened. I had a different type of 8-Ball.
Our Twitter buddy, Liam McCausland, also went 4-3. And then Lindsay tied with Subway. Subway actually got below 500 on his picks. Wow.
Well, he's usually really, really good or...
really, really stoned, or both?
Both. Yeah.
Usually both. Yeah.
Usually both.
What is the name of that comedian that did that movie, Super Jaime?
Silence means none of us saw it.
Nobody knows the name of that comedian.
No, I watch good movies.
Why don't you Google it, Tim?
Actually, that wasn't a bad movie, Omega. It dispelled a lot of bullshit myths about marijuana.
So did our interview with Rob Van Dam. Go listen to it in the archive section.
You know, I like good interviews.
In that case, sure. Go listen to The Rack.
Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, rockradioshow.com.
There you go. Just set it up right for the
I was biting my tongue. I wasn't going to say it. I was going to keep to myself, not give into it. But Omega did it anyway.
So there you go.
Sam wants to piss on my lawn. I'll send people to someone else's.
Well, you know, when you start yapping about something that somebody might have enjoyed, and you only like it's just, well, you know, that's your opinion. So, Doug Benson, thank you very much, Kane Kittens.
He only has 1,600 different movies, so he probably has it. I think it was 1,600. May have been more than that.
Anyway, Doug Benson is very funny.
I was going usually very high.
And I just totally forgot, because, yeah.
Is it time for quick hits yet, Tim?
I think we better do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
And I stand corrected. It's now 1,660 movies he owns.
1,600. Jesus Christ.
So he works all the time and has over 1,600 movies.
Take a day off, King Kittens. Jesus Christ.
It's like at
take a weekend off.
He's up to 553 straight days.
What the hell does he do? Does anybody know?
We're not allowed to say. He works anyway. Tim,
he works it as a full-time giver in a sperm donor clinic. Then
there
okay,
you go.
Got it.
And that's why he has so many movies.
He can afford them because he earns a lot of money.
No, they're for work.
Never mind.
They're for work. Those type of movies.
Yes, I get it. I was just like walking over your joke.
Tim, is Alberto Del Rio a Hall of Famer?
In what wrestling company?
WWE.
No.
Okay. Mace, is The Big Show a Hall of Famer?
Scary thing is, I'll say yes on that one. Mainly just for hanging around like a bad stench for so long.
Omega, is Steve Blackman a Hall of Famer?
No. Not even gonna humor that one.
Tim, who wins the King of the Ring this week?
The guy.
Pick a guy.
Any guy? Who's in it?
No one knows yet.
Well, then how the hell am I going to be able to pick it?
Just pick a guy on the WWE Superstar who wins the King of the Ring. Who should
Wade
be?
Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett. Okay, Mace, who wins the King of the Ring?
Neville.
Omega, who wins the King of the Ring?
Jesus Christ. Only have the entire roster to pick from. I was going
to
say
probably
Sheamus.
Easier to
keep
it to the mid card.
I was going to say Sheamus, but the last time he won King of the Ring, he looked even dumber than he does now.
Oh, but could you imagine if he brings that look back with his current one?
Oh God. With the stupid horn crown and...
So who's your pick, Omega?
Dean.
Surprised you guys didn't go for the obvious. The king of the Roman Empire, Roman Reigns.
WWE's not that clever.
Too obvious.
The empire would have an emperor.
Anyway, there you go. That's quick hits. We're done.
Well, there it is. A little bit of an abbreviated show because it's on so late and we're doing the review of the pay-per-view. Everybody, thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget tomorrow night immediately following Raw. It's another edition of the Raw Post Show. 3 hours of Raw packed into as close to 45 minutes as I can muster.
Usually like 20 to 30 minutes these days. It's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and of course, the multi-time award-winning The Rock returns this Thursday night with your hostess, Lindsay Ward.
Genesis, we'll review Extreme Rules. We'll talk NXT. We'll talk a little bit of SmackDown. We'll talk all the news you can possibly handle. It's The Rock, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, unirockradioshow.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack, Facebook.com/WTRRack. You can go to YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRRack, and follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward, and check out her artwork at Behance.net/Lindsay Ward.
Where did she come up with that name, Behance? Anyway.
It's a website, Tim.
Saturday night, midnight, or as close as I can get to it, Cigarette Butts and Bandanas returns.
The countdown is on. Go to CBRadioLive.com. The countdown clock is continuing for something. What is it? Tune in and find out eventually. It's weird, it's wacky, it's the unusual. We recap Extreme Rules, play some games, some weird news, and all the Blame Rob moments. Use hashtag Blame Rob. Follow the show on Twitter at CBRadioWTR, Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. And like I said, check out the website, CBRadioLive.com.
And don't forget, next Sunday night, it's regular time, pending, of course, provided there are no technical difficulties or anything else like that. Another edition of WTR Sunday night, another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. You can follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter at Wrestle Talk Radio.
No.
No, not anymore?
At WTR Sunday night.
Oh, that's it. At WTR Sunday night.
Facebook.
Trying to keep all this stuff straight without, you know,
Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
As well.
Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Before we send it to Omega and Mace to do their plugs, remember everyone, check out Under the Raw Microscope, a recap on the website. All Raw Attitude Era shows that are now on the network. We're going to do one a week for as long as I can possibly do it. It's Under the Raw Microscope every either Tuesday or Wednesday on talkradio.com.
And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter not once, but twice. You can follow at Trivial Tim. That's going to be where all my non-hockey-related tweets will wind up being. And, of course, my main Twitter, at Flames Forums. And that's absolutely everything and anything goes on that particular Twitter. Mace!
Yes, you can follow me on the Twitter machines at the Mace Thing. You can go and have a look at my stuff on youtube.com/WTR Game Garage. But at the moment, I haven't really put anything up. Except for possibly something this upcoming Friday, having to do with a WWE press conference I'm going to cover with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, and Hulk Hogan being there. I have no idea what it's about, but you'll find out as soon as I will.
As I watch Big Show try to break the table.
I want my pie!
Took him two times, though. Anyway.
Wow.
He's very loud with this new microphone.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
it's
Omega
Mace.
Show.
When is he not loud?
Live with it, motherfuckers.
All right, that's too loud. Back away from the microphone. And while you're backing away, Omega should plug stuff.
Yeah, I can plug all of my stuff over on YouTube, which is usually very active, and this month has been extraordinarily active over at TJ Omega. My stuff can also be found over on Facebook at TJ Reviews. You can also follow me on Twitter, which is TJ Omega. And for anything that isn't on YouTube, it's somewhere over on TJOmega.org.
Go check out all his Toy December videos, because the month is draining on him. He only has
it's almost over.
It's almost over. A few more days left. Check out all of his normal reviews and all the 30 days of December, because it's Christmas in April.
There you go.
Because fuck and you, Logic.
Oh my goodness.
Before you wrap it up, then, remember, check us out on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iTunes, Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go. Now we're wrapping it up. Thanks for joining us for tonight, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night. Take care. Have a great week. WildTalkRadio.com